At 5 o'clock she knows I'll soon be home. She don't worry about me running round, 'cause all of my good times are waiting right there for me. And she knows where I'll be when the sun goes down. I'm a standby my woman man. Our world turns around a little gold band, and love leads us through life hand in hand. I'm a standby my woman man. We fall asleep at night. Beside her, 'cause I'm not just her lover, I'm her friend. Our love keeps getting better, and I'll gladly spend forever standing by the woman who stands by her man. I'm a stand.
Ronnie Millsap with Stand By My Woman Man. I'll tell you what, that's a good song, and that goes out to all the she-wolves today on Freya's Day. Freya's Day, it's the 21st of November 2014, coming up on Thanksgiving Day. And what do I do here on Thanksgiving Day? Well, I don't need a turkey, I don't need a chicken, I could have a hamburger, don't make me any difference. But I'll tell you what, I thank my mom and dad because they gave me the genetics, and their mom and dad, they gave me the genetics where I've got pretty good health, or have had pretty good health, and hope it continues. So when you sit down, I even put a sign out front, thank your mom and dad. You know, I don't want to thank no baby Jesus. I want to thank the people who made it possible. Yeah. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your free will donations. Well, I don't know. Maybe you don't feel free. And then we take it and do what we can with it, and use some of it for the POWs and so forth and so on. So that's the way that goes. And now on the website, what we're doing is we're limiting access to the radio archives, and I think we're going to make it for a year. After a year, they'll open up for anybody, but I think we'll set it up for a year's shows that only people like you who pay your donations in have full access to it. So you'll have full access to everything. Of course, the regular website plus all the radio shows, so and of course you get them anyhow. I send them out to you, but the people who are not Radio Club members or associates or whatever, lone wolves, they are required to, if they want to get the shows, send in a $20 donation. We think that'll boost the income a little bit there. We don't need to go way up. We're not planning on going to the skiing in the Alps or going down to Miami Beach. Wouldn't mind. I don't think we're going to be doing that. But anyhow, we will be able to stay warm here in the bunker. How about that? Yeah. Anyhow, that was Marty Millsap. I'm sorry. And I like that song because, you know, there's another song, Stand By Your Man, that became very popular. And then Ronnie came out with this one. So that goes out to the She-Wolves on Freya's Day. You know, this Ferguson, Missouri thing's turning into a real clusterfuck. They had some jackass offshoot clan down there. I never heard of them. But anyhow, they came out and threatened they're going to defend the white people of Ferguson from those niggers. And if any of those niggers got out of line, that white group, that Ku Klux Klan, going to take care of it. Well, number one, it wouldn't happen. But number two, now there's another, I don't know, race mixing group, or you could say leftist, but I hate to do that because we got quite a number of leftist racists. But anyhow, the other side, they're coming out with both guns firing, wanting to badmouth the KKK. Well, they don't have to go far to do that, but it's all over Russia TV, and it's all over the regular news. And because these ones on the other side, they've exposed a few of these Klansmen as being in the raising money for the cop that's the grand jury's talking about right now. And that decision should come out in the next day or so, I think. But they're getting all equipped, the cops and the army and the politicians are getting ready for the big Ferguson thing. I really don't think it'll be much because the coroner, which is dead down there, and I don't see too many Negroes that want to get out on the street when it's that cold, or a lot of white people either, as far as that's concerned. Well, I put a message on there. I don't know if they'll run it on Russia TV, and I said, the Lone Wolves have no dog in this fight. If the Negroes want to burn down the town, that's going to give a lot of white guys jobs to rebuild it. So that's okay. And if the cops shoot every Negro they can find, that's just going to put more distrust of the system and the cops in play. So either way, Lone Wolves can't lose. So because worse is better, you know that. So just so your friends and relatives know that the Lone Wolves are not playing their silly little game down there in Ferguson. And if you're out there and somehow get this message and you're not on the inside of our little circle here, please don't make yourself look stupid and go out there and roll around in the gutter with the Negroes and the cops, because we're not too happy with either side. Okay, you got that straight? All right. I'll run some of that stuff I got off the internet as the show goes on. Need a little information out there. You know, the birds eat me out of house and home. I'm going to tell you something. I get so many birds sometimes flying in a flock around my patio that they set off my burglar alarm. I'm not kidding. Be 100 birds all flying in one direction. They fly across the infrared and cause my burglar alarm to go off. But anyhow, I found the most economical way to feed birds is with blocks of seeds. You know, KD has them, but they're getting too much money for them. They're getting about $6 a piece, which is a little high. If they were down around 3 or 4, that'd be a decent price. But what I'm interested in is how they hold a seed together in a block form, because it'd be quite easy to make a little form and pour whatever they use to keep the seeds together in there and stir it around and let it dry, and you can make your own bird seed blocks. You might even go into the business. Hell, you could sell those for $3 a piece or $4 a piece, and people be beating a path to your door. So all you inventors out there, because I can't figure out what the kind of edible adhesive they're using to keep those seeds in block form. So if you can find out, let old Tommy know, okay? Well, here's some more on this Ferguson flap. A video reportedly released by the Hacker Collective Anonymous on Thursday warned both police in Ferguson, Missouri, and the Ku Klux Klan against hurting local demonstrators. The Free Thought Project reported, quote, "To the KKK and the police, be peaceful or you will feel the consequences," unquote. The video stated, quote, "To the protesters, do not be afraid. We are here for you and will protect and serve you. We are the law now," unquote. A couple of pimple-faced kids are probably putting this out. Anyhow, it's funny. It's funny because if they made any kind of violent move, they couldn't get away with it because they're infiltrated. You can't start any Klan or anti-Klan or anything. You can't start anything. You know, you'll have Homeland Security infiltration. So if they make one move of violence against anybody, their ass is going to jail. The video came in response to a message attributed to Frank Ancona, the leader of the traditionalist American Knights of the KKK. These guys keep starting new clans and adding more words onto them. The traditionalist American Knights of the KKK threatened to hunt down anonymous members. Well, what a clusterfuck that would be. "You'll be strung up to the chimps," the KKK's message stated, on display for the whole world to see. "The Klan is to be feared, not threatened. Turn away or face the consequences." I wouldn't doubt that Mr. Akana himself is on the payroll of the feds. But anyhow, if anybody tries anything, they're going to get 50 years in the prison. Lone wolves don't play that game. You know, we don't have a dog in that fight, as I told them on the when I put an email on the web. We'll watch. We'll eat our popcorn and watch. Worse is better. The exchange of threats is the latest round in the dispute between the two groups. Both of them could fit have their national convention in a phone booth. Anonymous has already taken control of the Klan's Twitter account. So what? And revealed the identities of KKK members living near Ferguson in St. Louis. Well, they didn't have to do that. They could go to any bar where these guys hang out and find out who they all are. Anonymous makes it sound like they did this really deep investigation. Anonymous later expanded its campaign to include other white supremacist websites. Oh, okay. We haven't noticed anything on ours yet, but we've had it before, and it's no big deal. And Kana's group has already threatened protesters with lethal force, unquote. And he was seemingly caught suggesting to MSNBC host Chris Hayes last week that Klan members had been speaking to local police off the record. Oh, wow. Well, I went into the courthouse the other day, or the justice building here in town, to get some information on the election, who won, who lost, and how much they spent on the campaign. And in doing that, you got to go through a metal detector. There were two deputies there. We stood there and bullshitted for 5-10 minutes. Does that mean I'm working with the cops? He states that his group paid off anonymous members to learn the identities of people behind the KKK attacks. That probably broke their bank account, you know. Quote, "Your attempts of, as you call it, doxing, D-O-X-X-I-N-G, on official members of the Klan mean nothing," unquote. And Connor's letter states, "We're not trying to hide, and you're posting information that is public on the web. We don't care, but you're hiding behind pathetic masks, trying your best to disable to the Klan, which will never happen," unquote. Anonymous says in the video that it took Ancona's letter as a direct threat on their members' lives, man. If you attempt to aid the police, just know that there are more of us there than there are of you, the video states. But you will not know who we are. We are everywhere. We are among the protesters, and we are among you. Ooh, maybe they're trying to be lone wolves, too. Watch the video as posted on Thursday below. Okay, let's see what they got to say here. Now, don't get excited, boys and girls. Here we go. Let's see if I can find it.
Greetings to the traditionalist American Knights of the KKK. We are Anonymous. Over the last week, you and us have been in a battle of words and hack. You threaten peaceful protesters with violence. You threaten us. We seized your Twitter account. We took down your website. A new thread signed by the KKK Grand Wizard Frank Ancona has been released claiming that we will, quote, be strong up next to the chimps. We take this as a direct threat on our lives. We will not stand for it. When the grand jury indictment is announced soon, we will take every precaution needed to defend ourselves. The protesters will take to their streets peacefully as they always have. If you attempt to aid the police, just know that there are more of us out there than there are of you. But you will not know who we are. We are everywhere. We are among the protesters, and we are even among you. Your violent ideology will not prevail in this fight. To the police in Ferguson, you swore an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States and protect free speech. If you use violent tactics against the protesters as you have before, you should know that you are being watched very closely. We have eyes on every corner, cameras in every hand. You cannot get away with anything. You may have the guns and the badges, but when you are on the side of the KKK, history will not look back on you kindly. Take our warning. To the KKK and police, be peaceful or you will face the consequences. To the protesters, do not be afraid. We are here for you and will protect and serve you. We are the law now. We are Anonymous. We are Legion. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Traditional American Knights of the KKK and Ferguson Police, expect us.
Well, there you got it, boys. Watch out for that Anonymous. You're going to get you if you don't watch out. It's going to be interesting. They seem to think that the demonstrators have caused no property damage or anything like that. Isn't that illegal? Breaking down storefronts and stealing stuff and setting shops on fire? Aren't they concerned about the welfare of those people, small business people? Wow. Anyhow, it's the same old shit. It's kindergarten stuff that we've put up with for years. And unfortunately, way back, I was involved in it myself, calling names and back and forth. And neither side has any power. So, and they're trying to act like they got power. They got no power. And if they make a move, like I say, they're going to come down on them like stink on a skunk, man. So that's it. But I got my popcorn all set and ready to watch it. Wonder if they've done a police review on Klan leader Ancona. Where did he come from? I never heard from him. I'd like to see his rap sheet. However, it'd be a waste of time, really. I don't care. One good thing about this kind of stuff, it draws off all the flakes from us, and we can get our work done. Yeah, the Klan and the Hollywood Nazis, it drains all these flakes away that are uniform freaks and all that kind of stuff. So it's a good thing, you know. You know, like I told you before, on the old vacuum tubes, when they made a vacuum tube for a radio or TV, there's a little electrode in there, and when they draw out the to make a vacuum, they don't get it all. So they hook these tubes up to what they call a getter voltage, and it flashes, and it takes all the rest of the impurities, and they end up on the side of the tube, which if you've had any experience with vacuum tubes, it's that silver spot. People used to say, it must be a bad tube. It's got a silver spot on the inside there on the glass. Well, that's what this is, you know. This operates as a getter, you know. These flunky little outfits draw the impurities out of the real story, the real thing, what's going on. Yeah, so there they go, right on the side of that vacuum tube, baby. Of course, some of these outfits are totally created by the feds and the Homeland Security. I mean, they're not just a bunch of goofs coming together. They're actually created, or the leader is actually, he's being created by the feds. Too bad. It's too bad, because sometimes good young people that don't know the score and don't get the score from the right wing get involved in this stuff, and then they get in a jam and jacked up and ruin their lives. Well, the chairman of the county Republican Party up in Minnesota, who believes that big government is actually a form of satanic witchcraft, is not backing down from controversial comments he posted on his Facebook page about Muslims. Big Stone County Republican Chairman Jack Whitley said he opposed waterboarding terrorists because he believed that Muslim parasites should be killed. I am opposed to waterboarding Muslim terrorists because it is a waste of resources, he wrote Wednesday on Facebook. They are Muslim, they are terrorists, and we know where they are from. We know where their buddies are. We know where their mosques are. We know millions of these parasites travel to Mecca every year, and when? Frag them. Simplicity. I love when it all comes down together. Wow. There's another one of these tough guys. He's going to take care of this. The comments were first reported by the Blue Stem Prairie blog. Whitley said Thursday that he would not apologize for his remarks. He said that Muslims should either convert to Christianity, Christian Zionism, or leave the United States right now. This is where I'm making my stand, he wrote in another Facebook post. Muslims in the Twin City areas are calling for me to apologize for a comment I made on Facebook about them being parasites, and we need to frag them. I will not apologize, and I will not compromise. They either need to repent, accept the Jesus Christ and the baby Jesus, or leave the goddamn country right now. Any Muslims or group of Muslims who do not stand with the jihad Muslim terrorists are considered part and parcel of the Muslim terrorists. I was just contacted by a reporter from the Minnesota Star Tribune who will be writing an article on their blog site if you care to follow this story. Bravery is contagious. I'm not a coward, are you? If Muslims think they can come to this country and dictate anything that makes them terrorists. Let's see if your love for God and country patriotism extends any further than your fingertips on the keyboard. If you want to consider this a call to arms, then let it be. Well, I wish, I don't know, I wish these Muslims would all leave the country. There's no doubt about that, with a Zionist Christian under each arm. Whitley told the Star Tribune that he didn't like Muslims because Islam was a violent religion. Well, I got news for you, buddy. They're all violent. Hey, you read the Bible lately? It's about the most violent, sexist, pornographic book ever written. And Christians have been killing millions of people for 1,000 years, 2,000 years, and over. Yeah. I don't really see much of Islam being peaceful at all, he said. Don't come into this country, infiltrating this country with your terrorist activities and terrorist agendas and call it holy war. Well, the only terrorism they're creating right now inside our borders is just semen terrorism, screwing and getting with white women and so forth and having babies. That's the form of terrorism they've taken. I haven't seen any real terrorism in this country by an Islamic person, but to me, runaway birth control or birth happenstance is terrorism. A lot of people don't see that. All these Mexicans coming across the border are having kids. That's the terrorism. They don't have to have guns or anything. All they do is spread their semen around, just like the Negroes do. He also explained to the Star Tribune that he doesn't believe Muslims deserve First Amendment rights. Well, if you've got the power, you can take it away from them. Your association with those in your religion who have those terrorist activities and your unwillingness to call them on the carpet for it, well, they might be a little scared to do that there, sir. I mean, how many people in Chicago used to badmouth Al Capone? They might have hated him and didn't like him, but they sure as hell weren't going to talk about it, and that's the same way with these Islamics. No, you no longer have a right to practice that religion if it infringes on the peace and the tranquility of this nation and the people around you. What peace and what tranquility? There's no peace and tranquility around this country. It's violence from one border to the other border. That nullifies your constitutional right, and you don't have a right, you have a privilege, to practice your freedom of religion. Well, on his Facebook page, Whitley has expressed concern about witchcraft and Satanism. Yeah, the devil's all around. An oversized government will always be an immoral government, not necessarily. Size of government does not necessarily denote corruption, but usually there is a lot of corruption. Creating entities where none are needed to virtually control every aspect of the lives of its citizens for the greater good, thereby creating rebels and the ones who will not bow to these corrupt entities. Well, this is also known as witchcraft. Well, I'd like to explain one thing to you. If the government is corrupt, it's because the population is corrupt. I mean, it's a corrupt population that furnish the politicians that run the corrupt government. They don't just come out of the sky. They're already corrupt when they get there because the general population has become corrupted. So if you want a corrupt government, or if you want an honest government, then straighten out your corruption among your rank and file. I mean, it starts at the bottom right here. We got these corrupt, crooked, small-time politicians. They just ran for office here. I mean, it's no problem finding dirt on them. They're all dirty in one way or another. So they keep climbing up until finally they get in the federal government, and then you say, I wonder why that government's so corrupt. He said the Hollywood, the NFL, the NBA, televangelists, the Christian music industry, the health industry, and academics were all part of the government of Satan, which he claimed had infiltrated the Christian church. Well, I wouldn't accuse Satan of all that stuff. I think from what I've read, he was the angel of light or something and wanted people to enjoy the earth. Now, don't come back at me and say, I believe in Satan. I don't believe in Satan. But anyhow, government of Satan. But these people are always blaming the devil. The devil made me do it. And he says that government of Satan has infiltrated the Christian church. American Christians, or should I say westernized Christians, are absolutely caught in the trap that Satan has laid for them. And they don't even know it because it feels so good. Well, that's because most of the preachers are getting more sex than the average non-believer. He said in another post about the movie Noah. Well, this movie Noah, it's funny how they're taking these Old Testament bullshit stories and putting them into giant films that are very impressive as far as the making of the movie. But I'm not going to go see Noah. It's too bad. I'd rather see it applied to some real character and not a mythical Noah. Whitley also expressed his opposition to the feminization and homosexualization of the church. Well, I don't know what's going on there. I don't know. There's no reason in my mind why all of a sudden, in the last maximum 20 years, all of a sudden, there's homosexuals everywhere. They're everywhere. All over TV, everything you look. My gal watches these house where they flip houses and stuff, and the home channel, they got them all over that, everywhere. It's got to be something, I guess, in the food or in the air, in the water or something. It didn't just happen. It wouldn't happen that fast. I can see it gradually happening, but I just can't believe that it would naturally break out to where every time you turned a corner, there was a homosexual. And here he said he didn't donate money to missionaries unless they prove to me they stand against abortion and homos. Well, why would you support missionaries at all? They're just going over there and trying to convert all these idiots and these niggers in Africa to be Christians. And then they turn around and these tribes, they follow the Christian teaching about killing a homo, and they kill the homos. Oh, man, it's insane. It's insane. He's not going to support those missions. As long as they're race mixing and doing the regular baby Jesus connies, they're okay. But they better not stand for aborting babies. Well, I'm all for aborting my opposition. Yeah, that's why I invest heavily in abortion mills in the inner city. Well, if I had the money, I would. And the homos. Well, what are you going to do about the homos? Well, most homos aren't really causing any problem. I don't agree with their lifestyle. I'm a committed heterosexual. But most homos are not causing problems. They're just doing their weird little thing. And now they're getting married, and they're going to be just as miserable as all these other people that are married. That's what's funny. Whoa, Tommy. You stepped on some more toes. But I'll have to tell you, if there's a homo out there, a homosexual, that is providing us with ammunition against their opposition and things like that, I'd be glad to sit down and have a cup of coffee with them. I don't go crazy about this kind of stuff. I think in a healthy society, both food, air, and water, and psychologically, I think that all these things would straighten out. Once you take control of your race back and start working on it to get rid of all the Jew influence and so forth, a lot of these things that you consider a big problem will disappear. I heard him talking about, I listened to a lot of stuff about old-time TV and things that I've actually seen back when Bill Buckley had this conservative show on TV, and he was highly respected by a lot of people, especially college people, as a right winger, because he spoke so eruditely and all that kind of stuff. And I even came under a little influence of that for a while, way back. But he had Gore Vidal on his show, and he said Gore Vidal called Buckley a crypto-Nazi. And he fired back at him. Bill Buckley says, "I ain't gonna let no goddamn fag talk to me like that. I'll smash you in the face." That was on live television. I loved it. That's funnier than hell. To be perfectly honest, Gore Vidal, whether he's a homosexual or not, was far more intelligent and far more educated than Bill Buckley, and has written some good books about the history of the United States. And I told you the story about his grandfather when he was a little kid, Gorbadal, walking through Washington, D.C., right through the main part where the White House is and all that. And his grandfather looked down at him and said, one of these days, this is all going to be rubble. He didn't explain exactly why, but he said, one of these days, all these monuments and buildings here in Washington will be rubble. Anyhow, we'll leave this guy up in Minnesota to chasing them, the devil around. I want him to give me a call when he finds him. I'd like to talk to that devil. I'd like to talk to that Jesus guy, too. He never shows up either. They never show up. I see a Walmart's putting on some ads on TV bragging about how wonderfully they treat their employees. It's sort of a joke. A lot of them have to get food stamps to survive. But they showed on TV these people that work for Walmart standing around with these certificates up in front of them that, you know, if you don't want to pay anybody money, you give them a certificate. That takes me back when I worked in a lab at Douglas Aircraft Space Division in Santa Monica, California. I developed an idea that saved Douglas Aircraft tens of thousands of dollars that I figured out and created in the lab. And they called me up to the head office. They called it Mahogany Row. That's where all the big shots were. And the division guy that was way above me, he presented me with this certificate of what a great guy I was. I didn't get a damn dime, but he gave me a certificate. Got a big picture of him with a big shit-eating grin on his face and me being a stupid ass, you know. I should have taken what I had figured out and sold it black market or something. But that's the way these big outfits do. They want to con the people and the workers. They don't pay them what they should be paying them. And then if they're good little workers, peasants, slaves, they give them a certificate of merit, which is not worth a goddamn if you go down and try to trade it in on food. Well, there's a mother down in Virginia bragging that both her daughters went to the prom with niggers. Oh, what a wonderful mother. And what wonderful daughters. And what's going to be wonderful little nigger babies. A Virginia school administrator responded Thursday to the uproar over her controversial social media posting from earlier this year. Amy Strickland, an assistant principal at Norfolk's Booker T. Washington High School, retweeted a post from the @NAHHTweets account in June that students have protested as racist. The post showed a group of black boys and white girls pairing off in couples and dressed in prom apparel, along with the caption, quote, "Every white girl's father's worst nightmare," or "nah," unquote. Students walked out of class this week in protest after they learned about Strickland's post, which she made before the school hired her. Yeah. Oh, she was placed on administrative leave for warning white parents about that, you know. Can't have that shit. We gotta have these white girls with these niggers. We must, at all cost. There's still some pure white left. Reported on WAVA-TV, and she attempted to explain the post by saying she'd forwarded the tweet to her daughter. Quote, "I have devoted years of my life to educating students in a predominantly African-American school and was named Teacher of the Year for predominantly African-American Portsmouth school system last year," unquote. Strickland said in a statement, "Partly because of my exemplary record of working well and achieving success in an urban school system, I was hired this fall as assistant principal of Booker T. Washington School." Well, that means you can do what you want, I guess. You can't have free speech, though. Strickland, who is white, said she never perceived the post as racist. You know, that's what kills me. There's millions of people in this country that get into these situations, and they'll swear up and down they're not racist. Well, they must not know, understand what a racist is. I mean, somebody better explain to them, yes, you are a racist, ma'am. Yeah, you're just as terrible as we are. She pointed out that both of her daughters had black dates to the last year's prom, the station reported. Well, this gal needs serious counseling if she says on one hand, this is a father's worst nightmare that the daughter, white daughters go with niggers, and then turns around and says her daughters had black dates to the last year's prom, that she's got to be nuts. Officials from the Norfolk chapter of the NAACP said they did not believe Strickland is a racist. That NAACP, boy, have they. But they said the post she tweeted, retweeted, expressed a racist message. Oh. If she tweeted this thing, she's not a racist, but she passed on a racist message, so she's not a racist. Boy, oh boy, it gets complicated. They still want an explanation from Strickland about why she retweeted the post. Well, probably because she's stupid, because she should have known that if they find out about it, they'll try to destroy her, which I'm glad they are, because of her allowing her daughters to go to the prom with two savages. And I don't want to insult the savages. That just means man who lives in woods. So let's say niggers. That's better. The school board president said the school district was taking the matter seriously and reviewing the matter for appropriate action. Wow. Let's see what the... We've got some video here. Let's see what it says. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry they don't have the video and the audio on this. They showed her picture. She looks a little goofy, but she is white. I think she wants to be black. Well, a federal judge in North Carolina disagreed with claims made by a sovereign citizen. You know, these are the guys that want to go around without license plates, and I have some respect for them, but they do some goofy things that gets them in lots of trouble without really accomplishing much, and ruled that the U.S. Congress does have the authority to prevent him from minting and selling his own money. Well, so far, that's the way the law reads. The judge upheld the 2011 jury conviction of Bernard von Nothaus, Nothaus, N-O-T-H-A-U-S, the self-described architect of the free money movement, in a 47-page ruling filed November 10th. 47 pages to handle that, for Christ's sake. The 70-year-old von Nothaus has filed numerous post-trial motions, including an attempt to intervention by the Gold Antitrust Action Committee Incorporated, that were each rejected as baseless by the U.S. District Judge Richard Voorhees, reported the Hate Watch blog. Yeah, well, wait a minute. These companies mint money all the time, don't they? They're always advertising to buy this money that they've minted. Why can't this guy? Oh, it's probably because he's a little guy and not a big corporation, I guess. Von Nothaus, who will be sentenced next month, had argued that federal laws prohibiting counterfeit currency were unconstitutional, and he said the prosecutors didn't present enough evidence to prove he indeed to violate these laws. Well, you got to know these federal judges. You're never going to get justice out of a federal judge. He's there to protect the system. That's his job. Nuthaus, federal judges are simply guarding the system, not you, you dumbass serf. Quote, when the people own the money, they control the government, von Nuthaus said in 1999. Well, of course, it's not our money anymore that the government prints anyhow. Anyhow, it's all borrowed money, every dollar bill in circulation, first is borrowed into circulation. Quote, when the government owns the money, it controls the people. Well, that's true. The judge dismissed his arguments that anti-counterfeit laws infringe on the public's right to privately barter, and von Nuthaus claims it was not illegal to compete with the Federal Reserve. You know, I was into this tax rebellion years ago, especially during the Vietnam War. I refused to pay my taxes, which is a lot more than a lot of those left-wing liberal people always blowing off about having been against the war. I did something about it. I quit paying my taxes. But as I found out, it doesn't do you much good because it brings you a lot of grief and not much comes out of it. Von Nothaus accepted Federal Reserve currency in exchange for silver Liberty dollars minted at Sunshine Minting Incorporated in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, as part of the pyramid scheme. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Where have I heard that name before? It's in the water, baby. Investigators said Von Nothaus put $20 million in Liberty dollars, which look very similar to U.S. silver dollars, into circulation before he was arrested. Well, if he had $20 million in Liberty dollars, he had a hell of a lot of money in silver. This guy's no poor guy. The word coin is a government-controlled term, Von Nothaus argued 15 years ago in an interview. This is old stuff. We've known all about this stuff for decades and decades, but we finally figured out that the whole game is fixed from top to the bottom, and to go into court and argue this shit is a waste of time and damaging to your health. The only thing that federal government and all of those people understand is might is right. This is currency that is free from government control. Well, you can't have... It's the gang, you know. If you'd have gone into Chicago, like I say, and told Al Capone you're going to go into the liquor business, you'd had a couple of guys at your front door breaking your bones because he controlled the liquor business. That's all the government is, just gang of runaway criminals. The judge agreed that the Constitution does not give Congress the exclusive right to coin money, but he found that it does expressly prohibit states from doing so. Boy, that was a real mistake. The states should go back to printing their own money. Congress also has the authority to prevent individuals from minting their own coins if they're intended to use in monetary transactions, the judge ruled. Well, if all these guys on television hawking buying coins that they are minting, what the hell's the matter with this guy minting his own coins? Well, I shouldn't even ask the question. Von Nothaus, who claims he once was friends with LSD guru Timothy Leary, cooked up his Liberty dollar scheme while operating the Royal Hawaiian Mint in the late 1990s and later declared himself high priest of the Free Marijuana Church in Honolulu. Oh, boy. He founded a group called the National Organization for the Repeal of the Federal Reserve Act and Internal Revenue Code and began minting the Liberty dollars, which he described as inflation-proof. Well, they are. But the only way you're going to repeal the Federal Reserve Act and Internal Revenue Code is to mount a military attack on the Federal Reserve, like our friend Von, what was his name? That died in the shootout or later from, he was in that deal for the Jew Zoo and there in Washington, D.C. Von, can't remember it. Anyhow, he was going to take all the Federal Reserve Commission and hold them for a ransom or something. He should have just, I'm not going to say what he should have done, but you can imagine with Terrible Tommy's weird thinking, what Tommy would say should have been done right on the scene, right then. But he did time for that. The coins contained silver, but Nothaus periodically recalled the coins if the average spot price of the precious metal exceeded the face value of the coins, which were circulated in denominations of $1, $5, $10, $20, and $50. Well, there you go. People want to go out and fight the government and fight them in a legal manner. Yeah, the Constitution. Well, the Constitution was screwed up the day it was written. And then when they put the treaty clause into the Constitution, it was all over way back, way, way back. The only way that shit's going to stop is for a citizenry to get a pair of balls and rise up and be willing to spill the blood, man. That's the only way. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to self-destruct. Because all of the greedy bastards and the Jews and all those people involved, they just can't quit. Predatory capitalism will devour itself. It will. It has to. It's the nature of the beast. Well, here's an interview with von Nuthaus. Let's see what he's got to say. Let's see here. Bitcoin and the end of money.
My name is Bernard von Nuthaus. I was the monetary architect for the Liberty Dollar. Liberty Dollar was the first private alternate currency that was 100% backed up by gold and silver that could be used on a voluntary basis for any transaction within the United States or worldwide. It was actually distributed all over the world. As a result of my work and the success of the Liberty Dollar, I was convicted on March 18, 2011, of counterfeiting. They said that a Liberty Dollar looked like a quarter. It was actually gold and silver specie. It was also available in paper form, and it was also available in digital form. So all three forms was available in the Liberty Dollar model.
What was the U.S. government position?
Obviously, the government didn't like it. After an extensive investigation, they confiscated 11 tons of gold and silver, and they also arrested me and convicted me of counterfeiting, fraud, and conspiracy. That was on March the 18th, and I'm currently awaiting a 22 years sentence in federal prison. That was March the 18th, 2011. We are just coming up to March in 2014, so I've been waiting 3 years to be sentenced. This is most unusual. Usually in a federal case, you are incarcerated within 60 days after being found guilty.
Did the Liberty Dollar experience success?
It was the first and the most successful currency. It was the second most popular currency in the United States. Initially issued on October 1st, 1998, and actually ceased to circulate in March of 2012.
In comparison, how are the Bitcoin and Liberty Dollar viewed by the government?
Well, I think the big difference is the attitude that government has then versus the way the government attitude now, plus the fact that not only what I was the first, but the Bitcoin has become so extremely popular that the government realizes that it's all but impossible to put the genie back in the bottle.
Aside from the stated issue, fist money, what other kinds of money?
Well, actually, there's well over 1,000 different alternate currencies around the world. But what differentiates them from the Liberty Dollar was the Liberty Dollar was 100% specie based, in other words, gold and silver based, whereas none of those currencies are specie based. They are fiat currencies, largely because the people behind them, although their intentions are well and good, they don't have any money. So they can't come up with the money to start a 100% specie-based currency. So what I did after I retired from the Mint after 25 years, I used my retirement money to launch the Liberty Dollar, to provide Americans with an alternative to a depreciating currency. Look at the example between the Liberty Dollar and the U.S. dollar in the first 10 years. That would be from 1998 to 2008. In those 10 years, we distributed somewhere between $65 and $85 million to 250,000 people. During that time frame, the U.S. dollar depreciated by 50%, while the Liberty Dollar appreciated 500%. went from the $10 base to the $20 base to the $50 base. The differential between those two currencies is a whopping 1,000% difference. The government couldn't tolerate such a disparity between their piece of shit and my gold and silver Liberty dollars.
Yeah. And that price disparity, not just reflection on the performance of gold and silver.
It is a combination of that. The Liberty dollar was based on brackets, and so initially it was based on the $10 base. It was introduced at the $10 base, and then when the price of silver moved up, it moved to the $20, and when silver moved up again, it went to the $50 base. So yes, it has to do with the appreciation. But what is the appreciation of metals? It's nothing more than an example of the depreciating dollar. Why do metals go up? Because the U.S. dollar goes down in value. The purchasing power of gold and silver maintains the same. You can see this by comparing the price of gasoline. When I started driving, gasoline was 25 cents a gallon. That meant that at that time, the U.S. dollar, which was still redeemable into $1 coins, okay, so that was 3/4 of an ounce. So at that time, 3/4 of an ounce bought, gasoline. The reality is that 3/4 of an ounce still buys the same amount. It was 5 gallons of gas, and you still buy 5 gallons of gas today. So what it does is it proves conclusively that the silver holds its value. But all, it's manipulated by the government for their own means, which is, what is their means? War, war, and more war. There's something morally wrong with a fiat currency that does nothing more than enrich the damn politicians, kills our people, and finances war. There's something wrong with that. There's a moral element to money.
These problems are obviously not unique to us. Is the broader issue with fiat money and the rule of the state? Well,
that doesn't mean it's any better. Their currency are still depreciating. The fact that they're not using it for war, that's admirable, but that isn't good enough, because they're still ripping off their citizens of their value.
Where do you see the Bitcoin in the next 5 or 10 years?
Who would know? Who would not even know what would happen with Bitcoin 5 years ago? But what's significant is the fact that I've been identified as a person.
Yet the Liberty dollar.
Well, it isn't right now. The fact is that I haven't been convicted. So my case is still pending. My case is still open. And I still hope that the judge will grant my motion for acquittal and acquit me, set me free, and establish the Liberty dollar for what it really is. It's a genuine legal currency. Private money. Private voluntary barter currency is a phrase that we use.
Well, obviously, sorry for that low volume, but that's the way I got it off the web. Obviously, this has led, I was going to say it before, but he answered the question for me, has led to Bitcoin and what Max Kaiser is promoting a lot on his program on RT television. But you see, with the Bitcoin, it makes it a lot rougher for them to shut anybody down, because they can't seize the gold and silver and like that, because it's an electronic thing, you know. It may have its fallacies, but at least it doesn't give them a target where the feds can move in and grab all your gold and silver that you're minting. So anyhow, Bitcoin seems to be still doing quite well. Well, that's about it for today. I'll be back tomorrow and probably have Sling Blade on here tomorrow on Saturday. And we'll go from there in 14.5, and keep your pie holes shut, and don't get involved with these silly things like down in Ferguson, Missouri. Just sit there, watch the television, eat your popcorn, and let both sides beat on each other. One thing I like, a lot of the younger female country western singers are picking up on some of the old tunes. I like to sing Poncho and Lefty, which was done by the guys, but Emmylou Harris has come out with a copy of it, and I think it sounds pretty good. And since this is She-Wolf Day, let's hear Emmylou Harris and Poncho and Lefty.
Weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one it seemed. She began to cry when you said goodbye, and sank into your dreams. Poncho was a bandit bus, his horse was fast.
Kindness, I suppose, those Federales. Ha, ha, ha. Fuck you, Federales. Quite surprised. I thought that was a recent recording, and it couldn't be because I believe Emmylou Harris died a long time ago. I'm pretty sure because I once had her television set. Friends of mine who were sort of wild people. They evidently were, they bought a house full of her furniture or something like that, or the, she gave it to them, or they, the family gave it to them or something, and this great big console TV, and I got it, and that was the TV that belonged to Emmylou Harris. I'm pretty sure it was Emmylou Harris. But anyhow, this recording was made clear back in 1978. I never heard that she had recorded Poncho and Lefty. Evidently, she recorded it before the guys did. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm behind the time, man. That's it. Bye-bye.